Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
A very good evening to our listeners on Manx Radio AM 1368. Welcome to Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and along with our correspondents Dave and Tony this evening, we'll be taking a look through this weekend's football and rugby action. It's been two big weekends. Cup and league competitions aplenty in Manx football going into the business end of the season. And this weekend, the curtain has come down on the 25-26 Isle of Man rugby campaign, with the finals of both the Manx Plate and Manx Cup taking place in the Isle of Man capital today. But first of all, let's start by bringing you the classified sporting results for Saturday, the 2nd of May 2026. They are as follows, starting with football. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals. Onken 3, Braddon 0. Rushen United 2, St Mary's 0. St George's 3, Colby 2. Corinthians vs Ayr United postponed due to player call-ups to the Isle of Man national team. The Canada Life Men's Premier League. Douglas High School Old Boys vs Peel awarded as an away walkover to Peel. Douglas High School Old Boys unable to field a team. Foxdale 3, St John's United 4. Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 5, Governors Athletic 0. Moran vs Pulrose United awaiting result. Douglas Royal 4, Maloo 4. Ardern and Drugan Limited Combination 2. Pulrose United 4, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys 2. And Michael United vs Maloo awarded as a home walkover to Michael United, Maloo unable to field a team. Moving now to rugby. The Hartford Homes Manx Plate Final. Vagabonds 24, Ramsey 35. And in the Hartford Homes Manx Cup Final. Southern Nomads 5, Douglas Celts 43. Those are your classified sporting results across the Isle of Man for Saturday, the 2nd of May, 2026. Well, another important day in Manx football. This is the first of 2 days of cup competition quarterfinals taking place. The Ascot Hotel Junior Cup quarterfinals are coming up tomorrow. But turning to this weekend's action, we can bring in our football correspondent, Tony Meppham. Tony, a very good evening, first of all. And we'll start with the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals. Now, of course, only three of the four quarterfinals taking place today. Corinthians versus Ayr United, if you missed it a moment ago, that game has been postponed. That's because of player call-ups to the Isle of Man men's national team, which is playing this evening in a friendly against Halewood Apollo. We'll have more on that later in the programme. But Tony, some more interesting results coming from the quarter-final stage.
Yeah, it certainly is, because we kept Kay and I on it at half-time, because Rushen were leading against St Mary's, and they finished up 2-0 winners, so that's superb for them. Onken Braddon, I think, expected to go the way it did, was 3-0 to Onken, and St George's against Colby. There's a bit of a story to that one, but we'll go to that one when we go through the scores. So on paper, probably, you know, the St George's Colby one is probably the big surprise, but with Rushen, not many people will probably know, but there are quite a few players down today, and we've got a match report on that as well.
Well, we'll have all the details bring you in the next few moments. And plus, don't forget, we'll also be bringing you the live draw for the semi-finals of this year's Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup later in the programme. Let's take a look through those results then. And we'll start with the game between Onken and Braddon. This actually took place at Braddon today. It was a change of venue, but Onken the home side in this one. And Onken, they've had a tricky run of form in the league after such a brilliant start at the start of the campaign. But in cup competition, they're through to the last four of yet another competition. Of course, they were in the Railway Cup semi-finals this year as well. Into the last four of the Hospital Cup with a 3-0 win over Braddon today.
Yeah, they'll be delighted with this, Onken, because disappointed that they didn't get into the Railway Cup sort of semi-finals. But, you know, when you look at Onken, they've been so solid throughout the season, haven't they? And as you rightly say, you know, towards the end, they've had a couple of results that didn't quite go their way. But one of the stars of this season has been Ethan Leavers. He got two of the goals today. James Lees got the other one. So I would say everyone involved with Onken are absolutely buzzing now. They'll be looking to see who the semi-final opponent is later when we do the draw. But today's result gone to plan for them.
Come on, the Onken. On the Onken side of things, I should say, you know, they've dropped down to sixth in recent weeks in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. It is hotly contested up there, but dropping off the pace of the likes of Laxey, St John's United, who won today, and also St Mary's as well. And obviously, we were, you know, full of plaudits for them earlier in the season, but still, no doubt, you know, a positive campaign for an Onken side that has been very steady this season in the league. To be into the last four of another cup competition this season, more positives for the club.
It is, and you know, that's good for the club because, you know, it just shows that what they're doing is correct. There's a lot of young players in there, Rob, so they're only going to get better. And James O'Kelly, the manager, has done a great job with them, and, you know, they've been coached well right the way through. And I think it's they've gelled together. They're very friendly, you know, the players, big pals, and you can see that quite clearly when they play. But, you know, it's just one of those. It slipped off towards the end a little bit. But when you look at it from, forget Laxey because they're in third, but St Mary's, who are in fourth, are on 37 points, played 22. Onken have played 23 for 36. So it just shows you that pack in the middle, there's four of them, sort of two on 37, one on 36, one on 33. It's nip and tuck, but games are coming to an end now. I see some 24s there, which I'm delighted with because that means they finished their season. But still quite a bit of football and some big decisions to be made on the fixtures as well towards the end of the season.
Indeed. Back to the cup competition, then the Hospital Cup quarterfinals. Three of the four ties were all Premier League ties this weekend. The second of those three ties was down at Croyte Lowy, where Rushen United, who knocked out the newly crowned Canada Life Men's Premier League champions Peel in the previous round, coming up against a St Mary's side that have, I think we've said a few times, have quietly gone about their business in the league this season, picking up some impressive results along the way, and the ECAP FA Cup finalists earlier in the campaign as well. Well, Rushen United have beaten St Mary's today by 2-0, and we understand, Tony, with a few players missing this weekend.
Absolutely, and I've just read through the match report. It's lengthy, but we've got time, so let's give it an airing because it's very well put together. Rushen United 2, St Mary's 0, Hospital Cup quarterfinal. Rushen United advanced into the semi-finals with a composed and hard-working performance, overwhelming a committed St Mary's side who played their part in a competitive and good-spirited cup tie. The breakthrough came almost immediately. A trademark soft, lofted, sorry, pass from Evergreen Chris Shimon released Joe Kelly, who cleverly lobbed, forced a defensive scramble, and the ball was eventually turned over the line by a St Mary's defender. We don't know who it is. In the second minute, it was a bright, incisive move that set the tone for Rushen's early momentum. St Mary's responded well, settling into the game and making Rushen work for every yard. With five combination players in the starting 11, so there's your indication, the Spaniards relied on energy, discipline and collective graft to maintain control, while St Mary's stayed organised and competitive throughout. Rushen's second arrived midway through the second half. Danny Lane drove forward and created the opening, and Charlie Kelly applied a composed finish to double the advantage. The match remained honest, physical and respectful, with both sides contributing to a proper cup occasion. St Mary's pushed to the second, to the end, sorry, but Rushen's relentless and structured saw them through. A strong team display, a clean sheet, and Rushen move into the Hospital Cup semi-finals. Thank you very much, whoever wrote the report.
Yeah, absolutely. A very detailed report. Thank you very much for sending that in. And Tony, just on one thing that seemed to be apparent in that match report as well, work ethic from the Rushen United team as well, with, you know, with players missing as well to get a result against St Mary's side that have impressed at times throughout this season as well. They'll have players to come back and into the last four of the Hospital Cup competition.
Yeah, and they'll be chuffed to bits with that one because, you know, unfortunately, when the fixtures were done in July, August, they had a stag do organised. There's nothing they could do about it. And they just wait to see if they were still in it or not. And they were in it, and they've got the result that they wanted. So, you know, well done to them. But it's transition for them, Rob. You know, we've said right the way through the season, there's a lot of young players now coming into the system. And Barry Critchley and everyone who's done a great job in coaching some of these young players is reaping the benefits now. And all they can do is sort of stick together, progress, and, you know, another semi-final cup, which Rushen seem to do like. And if they could get something at the semi-final, whenever it's going to be played, we'll see how the draw goes. We wish them well on that, and maybe a bit of silverware towards the end of the season.
Who knows? Well, there was only two Division Two sides left in the Hospital Cup quarterfinals going into this weekend, and both of them played each other this weekend today at Glen Crutchery Road. St George's taking on a Colby side that were crowned Arden and Drugon Limited Division Two champions in midweek on Tuesday night. So Colby would have gone into this, on paper at least, as favourites. But a bit of an upset here, Tony, because Colby have been beaten by St George's by 3-2. Great result for the home side.
Yeah, they certainly have. And unfortunately, Carl Gartland wasn't at the game today because it's his son's communion, I think it is, so you had to sit that one out. But certainly Sir George's have put in some good performances against Colby this season, and he feels that they could have easily have maybe won one of them, but they didn't. But certainly today it was a big ask for them. But 2 by Kieran McNulty, Sir George's did take the lead. Johnny Quirk got one, an absolute peach, Carl said to me, finished by him. He was reported to him. Jordan Edge got the 2 for Colby, but Colby would be disappointed going out because against Geordies, I think they fancied their chances in it, but it hasn't happened, and it's Geordies that go through.
And I suppose from a Colby perspective, Tony, after the high of being confirmed as Division 2 champions in midweek, the question might have been, can they find the same levels this weekend? And it's, you know, St George's, for whether it's, you know, it's a case of St George's really excelling this weekend, or Colby maybe just their levels just dropping slightly, which has been a rarity this season. They've been so consistent at the top of Division 2. St George's taken full advantage, whatever the situation was down there.
And that's what St George's have sort of done, I think, has steadily gone about it this season. And towards the end, they've had some really good results. I remember watching them when Castletown were absolutely flying in the league. And Geordies beat them in the cup, I think it was, and then the following week had another game against them in the league and did well. So it just shows that, you know, Carl said he's got some really good young players coming through, but it just shows a bit of class from Kieran McNulty, who's come back into the squad and helped them and can still score goals for fun. So how many times have St George's been in the Hospital Cup semi-final draw? Many, many times indeed. And how many times did they win it? Many, many times. So we'll wait and see how they get on this one. But, you know, it gives the club a massive lift, because we're talking about it today, Rob. But, you know, when you look at Colby, it was only a few years ago they had one team really struggling to keep it together. Paul Rose will come to their result later on in the combination. They didn't have a combination team, but have held it together. And now they're reaping the benefits. And I love seeing stories like this, because it shows that hard work behind the scenes by the clubs and the players can get rewards for them. And that's what's happened here.
So St George's will be the only remaining Division 2 side in the Hospital Cup competition when it heads to the semi-final stage. A reminder as well, if you didn't hear us mention it a moment ago as well, we will be bringing the live draw for the semi-finals later in the programme. The fourth remaining Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarter-final, which was due to take place today between Corinthians and Ayr United, that game, it was confirmed ahead of the weekend, has been postponed, and that is due to player call-ups to the Alabama men's national team this evening for the Alabama men's side's friendly against Halewood Apollo at the Bowl, which is incidentally not long got underway, kicked off at 5 p.m, so just under 15 minutes in there at the Bowl in Douglas. Moving to the Canada Life Men's Premier League, we had only 2 on the cards this weekend. Only one went ahead, in fact, because the game between Douglas High School Old Boys and Peel, that was awarded as an away walkover to Peel ahead of the weekend, and that confirmed Peel as the Canada Life Men's Premier League champions, back-to-back champions, successfully defending their title in 25-26. Congratulations once again to Peel on that one. The other game taking place in the top flight this weekend had implications at the bottom of the table. Foxtel hosting St John's United at Billy Goat Park. And Foxtel, back-to-back wins in their last 2, their first 2 this season as well, so on the up. But Foxtel still needing 3 to keep their very, very faint survival hopes alive in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Well, their relegation has now been confirmed, Foxhill, because they've been beaten at home by 4-3 by St John's United this weekend.
Yeah, and on this one, it was a great performance by St John's, because they were some players missing today. Haven't got Foxdale scorers, but Callum Taggart proven again that he's the top boy at St John's. He got 2. Joe Quayle got one, and Pedro Cardoza got the other one. So now that puts St John's played 23 for 40 points. So they go fourth into place. And I know you like being kept up to speed with everything. The Isle of Man national team have just taken a lead through Thomas Brown after 5 minutes.
Excellent. So thanks very much for that, Tony. So there's an update from the Bowl in Douglas. The Alabama men's team leading Halewood Apollo by 1-0. Peel's Thomas Brown on the score sheet and on top.
Again.
Again, yes. The Golden Boot winner, of course, last season in Manx football. Just a quick mention, though, for Foxtel, though, Tony. It's been a fighting spirit from Foxtel after what's been a difficult season for them. And we were talking about this just before we came on air as well, with the exception of maybe two results here, just looking back over the last couple of months. Earlier this month, a 14-1 defeat against Corinthians and an 8-1 loss against Peel as well, the top two sides in Canada Life Men's Premier League. But looking at the other results around that in all competitions, they have been... They've certainly fought their way through these particular games as well, and on the score lines at the very least, not been embarrassed.
No, they haven't. And if you tally up how many goals they've scored after the Peel game, they've scored quite a few, because do I remember a 7-4 victory there against Douglas High School Old Boys? And they've been banging them in for fun, and future bodes well.
They've scored, just quickly, just looking at that, they've scored 20 goals since that 8-1 defeat to Peel on the 7th of April.
There you go, and you know, well done to everyone sort of filling in. I know Jay Chatwood has helped things. He scored 4 in one of the games, but they've had one or two sort of other players who've registered for them, and it's been brilliant. And they're young players as well, so maybe one or two of the older players with more experience will step aside or just help, you know, along with the team. But it was always going to be tough for Foxtel this year after sort of getting relegated last season. And today, against the team that are fourth in the league at the moment, only just losing out 4-3 shows how much they've improved.
Just on that, Tony Turner, St John's United, like you quite rightly say, fourth in the table. They're not going to have any further effect towards the teams above them, because of course only one game left. Laxey above them are 4 points ahead with just 3 points left to play. But St John's United, it's been a real pick-up in the second half of the season, hasn't it, in the league?
Well, it has, and I think Will Brown will be chuffed to bits with that one, because, you know, Callum Taggart, as we saw today, he's a big player for them, and if he's there, he'll score the goals. Dean Lees got injured, so he came back in, but... When you look at other people who have been sort of missing with long-term injuries, it's affected them, Sam Ingham being one of them. But when you look at the nucleus of the others, you know, they've always sort of hung in there. Joe Savage is one. You've got Andrew Chadwick, who's another one. Paul Callow at the back has been sort of strong. And right the way through, they've, you know, just battled and, you know, got those extra points that they wanted to do to finish as high up as they could. And with only one game left to play, they're out of the cups. They'll be looking to see if they can just finish it off with a win.
They've only lost 3 games in all competitions since, just having a quick look there, since early March. And those 3 defeats, 2 to Corinthians and 1 to Peel as well, the top two sides in the Premier League as well.
Yeah, and they weren't far away in one of the games against Corinthians. So it's been a good battle for them, and they'll be looking to build on it again next season, because, as I say, clubs like to finish on a high, and certainly St John's have done that.
Indeed. So, yeah, Foxtel 3, St John's United 4. Foxtel relegated from the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Time for a rebuild over at Billygo Park going into the next campaign. They've certainly put up a big fight in the last few weeks at Foxtel, even though they are finding themselves going back down to the second tier. Into our Durham Drug Unlimited Division 2. Now, of course, teams playing each other 3 times this season, meaning a total of 27 games for teams there. So still a bit of a way to go in Division 2, despite Colby already being crowned champions. 3 games today. We'll start off in the north of the island, Tony. Ramsey Centre and Old Boys up against Governors Athletic. And Ramsey Centre and Old Boys had the chance today, if they were to take maximum points, to actually move up into second ahead of Castletown, who don't have a game today. And Ramsey Centre and Old Boys have got their job done against second from bottom Governors Athletic today, winning by 5-0.
Great performance in the second half. I don't know what went wrong in the first half, because the half-time score was 1-0 to Ramsey Youth Centre, but second half with 4 goals, absolutely flying. Will Smith got 2, Leighton Ballard got 1, and Adrian Scarabucha got 2 goals as well. So as you rightly say, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys go now on 24 games played, 448, so they're well away from Colby, but they want to get those points difference away from Castletown, because Castletown have still got 5 games to play, and they're on 43, and yeah, it's absolutely a lot of games still to play. And I know people are saying out there, well, you chose to play it 3 times. I didn't choose to play it 3 times. The clubs chose to play it 3 times. And unfortunately, we've had probably the most horrendous winter that I can remember, apart from the floods, to do with their fixtures. So we're getting through them nicely. There's still a few to play. But while the evenings are nice like they are, Rob, let's crack on.
We have been very fortunate with the weather. I think the Isle of Man as a whole has been praying for a prolonged spell of this sort of weather. Just wonder if it'll translate into the road racing season to come.
I hope so.
I'm not going to tempt fate here. But yeah, just again, to put some numbers on what Tony's saying there in terms of the top of the table, of course, 27 games being played in total by teams. So Ramsey Centre and Old Boys in second with 48 points. They played 24. Castletown are 5 points behind in third, so just outside the promotion places, on 43 points, but have played 22, so 2 games in hand. And also Pulrose United are moving in behind Castletown with a result, as we've seen today as well. They're on 41 points after 22 as well. So still mathematically, four teams still in the mix there for promotion from Division 2 there as well. So still nothing quite said and done yet. Well, Moraine in fifth, they took on Paul Rose United today. Two teams still in with an outside chance of pushing for promotion this season. And Tony, this was a result we were waiting on. I have a figure in front of me, but it may well be an update. Do you have a final score to confirm for us?
I do have a final score, and I have two scorers as well. Moraine lost 3-2. Very poor performance. So, you know, Moraine have absolutely massively nosedived, haven't they, towards the end. That's three defeats, I think, on the bounce for them. And Tom Redburn got one of the goals, and Reese Westwell got the other. So big disappointment for Moraine. And, you know, when you look at it, that's their 20th game, so they've still got seven to play. And when you think of it, the season has basically got to be done and dusted 23rd, 24th of May. So we've got an awful lot of football to get in for some of the clubs and also competitions as well.
Yeah, Moraine, that's now five straight defeats in all competitions. I mean, where has it maybe gone a little bit wrong, Tony? I mean, we should point out just for context as well that they've only played 20 games in the league, so they've still got seven to play, but they're 11 points off Ramsey Youth Centre and All Boys in second at the moment.
Yeah, and I think they'll be really disappointed, to be honest with you. Is it so many games? Well, most clubs have been in the situation of playing twice a week now, you know, playing on a Saturday or a Sunday Junior Cup or Hospital Cup and midweek combination 1-2 or the Premier League in Div 2. So it's always the same towards the end of the season. Maybe last year spoilt us because it's probably one of the best. This year has been one of the worst, but we can't do much about that when, you know, the rain comes down and the pitches are struggling.
We'll just have to wait and see how the weeks unfold. But like I said, yeah, still four teams that could mathematically get that final promotion place in Ardern and Drinking Limited Division 2. Watch this space. Well, the third game in Ardern and Drinking Limited Division 2 this weekend was a belter. In fact, an eight-goal thriller that took place over at Bella Fletcher today, Tony. Douglas Rule 4, Malou 4. Great game.
Yeah, great result. And I think Bailey Ashton wasn't playing in this one. One of the top goal scorers in that league. He's struggling with a hamstring. But for Malou, just the notes I got in was that you know, we were really struggling for a team today, and Douglas Royal have capitalised on that. Wes Gibson got one, Jordan Cowan on the score sheet, Simon Dooley as well, and Malou scored an own goal. So Douglas Royal, they've had a good finish towards the end of the season. That's 23 play for them, puts them on 32 points, so they're going in the right direction. They'll be happy with that.
Yeah, so after today, Douglas Royal sixth in the league, 30 points after 23 games. Malou slotting in just behind them, 29 points after 21 games. So they've still got six games to go of Malou, so more points for both those sides to still accrue towards the end of the season. Elsewhere, we had two games in Ardern and Drinking Limited Combination 2 initially this weekend. The game that you went to today, Tony, we'll start with this one. Big implications toward the top of the league this weekend between Pulrose United and Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys today. And Pulrose United with the chance to go back to the top in this titanic three-way battle that's been going on at the top of the table this season. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys went into today needing to win to stay mathematically in the title race. Well, the home side, Pulrose United, have come out on top. They, at least for now, go back to the top of Ardern and Drinking Limited Combination 2. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys now officially out of the title race going into the final games of the season. Pulrose United 4, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 2. Tony, you were at this one.
Yeah, it was quite a good game to watch this, to be honest with you, because I just thought it might have been a tight game, but Pulrose players, forward players, had a different idea because they took the lead after 3 minutes, and it was James Lowther, who's a tricky little player. Just a really good run from him. He directed it really well. And it looked as if the ball was going to cross the line, but James Clark was there just on the edge of it, just wanted to make sure, and he put it over to make it 1-0 to Pulley. And then 5 minutes later, it was 2-0 because, again, James Lowther causing some problems, and he was upended and penalty was awarded, and James Clark stepped up to score to make it 2-0. And I thought, well, this is going to be either one-way traffic or it's going to be a big clawback from Ramsey Youth Centre. And a minute later, bang, they got one back. Aaron Broad, great strike by him to make it 2-1. And then it was 8 minutes later, Will Lithgow got the second for Ramsey Youth Centre to make it 2-2 after 17 minutes. I thought, what a humdinger this is. Then it went nip and tuck. There wasn't too many. There's a few chances, but not too many golden opportunities. But then half-time arrived. Everyone got their in information, and then the half-time started. Well, within 45 seconds, it was 3-2 to Paul Rose. Leo Dido got one, and he did really well in the second half to have good attempts at goal. But then on 51 minutes, Callum Dunn, who to me was a standout player today, he was tricky, absolutely shattered about 10 minutes from the end. I think he was substituted, but his goal made it 4-2, and the points go on Pulley's points tally. And Ramsey Centre, I think they'll accept that they were beaten by a better team, but you know, certainly James Lowther and certainly Callum Dunn have got bright futures in Manx football if they develop like they played today at a very young age.
So this means that going into the final games of the season in our Dundrum Limited Combination 2, Paul Rose United sit top on 64 points after 23 games. Douglas Athletic second on 61 points after 23 games. So it's the work to do for Douglas Athletic in the final games of the season, Tony, but they do have a superior goal difference as well. So if Paul Rose United do slip up, Paul Rose United play Castletown in their final game, incidentally, as well, then Douglas Athletic, that goal difference could potentially have a bearing.
It could do, but you know, if you look at the league table, you know, with Paul Rose and Castletown, sorry, you'd expect Paul Rose to win that one, but you just don't know, because night games can take players out because of work commitments and whatever. But when you look at Castletown, they are in seventh place, and you would fancy the chances of Paul Rose. They only need a point, to be fair. So if they got that point, then the trophy's in their cabinet. But as you say, you know, it's all to play for. And that goal difference that Douglas Athletic have got, which is, plus 20 on Paul Rose, that could be the turning point for them. But Douglas Athletic have got Malou to play, I think. So, you know, that it depends what players Malou have got available. See if it makes it difficult.
The other game in our Durden Drawing Limited Combination 2 today, Michael United versus Malou. That was awarded as a home walkover to Michael United. Malou were unable to field a team this weekend. Well, before we actually take, I suppose, a little bit of a look towards tomorrow's fixtures, because don't forget, we've also got the quarterfinals of the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup to come on Sunday. We are now going to undertake the draw for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. So, Tony, if anyone who's missed earlier in the programme, could you just confirm once again, who is in the draw for the semi-finals?
Certainly can. In the draw is five teams, actually, because we've got Corinthians or Ayr, we've got St George's, Onchan and Rushen. Now, I'll give you the dates of the semi-finals when we've done the draw, because obviously we need to get that Corinthians Ayr game played, and that's getting played next Saturday.
Excellent. All right, so we are ready to get the draw started. Tony is primed and prepared to
Unfortunately, Mr. Gartland can't come, so you've stepped
indeed,
in
yes,
the breach.
Indeed, yes, sir. It's been great to have Carl up here, but just, oh yes, unfortunately not able to attend prior commitments. So I will be carrying out the draw on his behalf this weekend. So here we go. The first one out of the hat is number one.
The number one is Corinthians or Ayr.
And they will have a home tie against number four.
Number four is St George's.
Next up, number three.
Number three is a home tie for Rushen.
And last but certainly not least, number two.
Number two is Onchan. So the draw for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals is Corinthians or Ayr against the Georges and Rushen against Onchan. Now, that semi-final, Rushen against Onchan, will take place next week on the 19th. We do have a spare date in
between. The 9th of May.
9th, sorry. We do have a spare date in between, which was the 16th, which was not going to be the final. The final is on the 23rd. So Corinthians and Ayr will play next week in their quarterfinal game, and Rushen against Onchan will play in theirs on the 9th of May.
So that means that the whoever of Corinthians and Ayr United face St George's, that game will take place on the
16th.
On the 16th of May there. Yep. So again, yep, just to again just round up what Tony was saying there. So the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-final draw is as follows: Corinthians or Ayr United versus St George's. That tie to be played on the 16th of May, a week after Corinthians and Ayr play, of course, their game postponed today. And the other semi-final will be played next weekend, Saturday the 9th of May, and that is Rushen United versus Onchan. What do you make of those two ties?
Well, for a start off, 16th of May is the English FA Cup final. So, you know, it's a bit of a problem there, because I think they brought the cup final forward. Normally it used to be about 5 o'clock, but I'm hearing that it might have been put a little bit earlier now, but we'll check on that one. But Russian against Onken, that's going to be a great semi-final because, you know, Onken will look at that and go, well, we stayed away from Corinthians, we stayed away from Air, we've got a chance here. But, you know, Russian have showed some mettle today, as were with the other one, Corinthians or Air. It just depends, like Air United will have people like Sean Kelly back in there, Jamie Callister, who's not playing tonight for the Ireland team, but he'll be back in the squad, so they'll be pretty well full strength. I think Corinthians, you know, one or two injuries kicking around, but St George's will, you know, have a go at them and see what happens. But, you know, it's up at Bala Fletcher, which is going to be interesting because, you know, the following day, Corinthians hand over their pitch for camping. So it's going to be a tight clear up on the 16th night, sure, to get it ready. But, yeah, two good semi-finals, whoever is going to play St George's in the other one.
And we'll have those details again on the Manx Radio website later this evening as well. Also, let's quickly, because we didn't have time to really broach this on Friday Sport Preview last night, given how packed a programme it was. Let's have a look ahead to tomorrow, because, of course, we've got the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup quarterfinals taking place. Four ties, all due to get underway at 2 p.m. Tony, we'll start with a game that's got a change of venue, St Mary's versus Ramsey. This is going to be taking place at Bala Fletcher tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. St Mary's couldn't get the ball, so, you know, they asked Corinthians. Corinthians more than happy to help them out. But, you know, St Mary's, if you noticed last week, Frank Jones is in that squad, so while he's there, he'll rattle cages for the younger players. But Ramsey, it's just sort of been, you know, pretty impressive towards the end of the season. They've got the results together and they've won the league, and now they're looking to see if they can do their double, which is in the Junior Cup against St Mary's. So I would certainly look at that one as a really tough game, but I think Ramsey will come out as winners.
Yeah, and as Tony referenced there, if you missed it earlier in the week, on Wednesday, Ramsey were confirmed as Canada Life Combination 1 champions after they were awarded a walkover in their game against Union Mills. Elsewhere in the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup quarterfinals tomorrow, Onken versus Douglas High School All Boys. This is also a change of venue taking place at Blackberry Lane, the home of Douglas High School All Boys.
Yeah, it is, and you know, Onken and All Boys have got good links because they're next to each other, and only happy to help them out because we're into you know, the season where Onken Park is up and running. This one here, when you look at Old Boys performances of late in Combination 1, they've been strong. They've got one or two really good young players in there qualified, as well with Onken. When you look at them in that Combination 1 title, they're fourth in the league, so they've got some really strong players in there, and I think both will fancy their chances. But where this one's got to go, not 100% sure, but I'm just going to go with the advantage to Onken to win in this one. But how fitting is that, that Onken and the first team and the Combination could be in semi-finals of two competitions. That's brilliant for the club.
Indeed. Elsewhere at Memorial Playing Fields, Moround, they'll host Russian United tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Russian should win that one. I think, you know, Russian, OK. Some of the players will have played today, that's for sure, who will play in the Junior Cup tomorrow, and they can do that if they've qualified for the Junior Cup. And we'll wait and see. But I think Moround, you know, two leagues, you know, the Division 2 Moround, you know, Russian are, you know, in Combination 1, I think they'll be too strong.
And last but certainly not least, the fourth and final tie will be at Victoria Road. Braddon taking on Union Mills tomorrow.
Well, Braddon, you know, when you look at the league table, Rob, it's played 23, Braddon, for 20 points, and you've got Union Mills who played 22 for 10. You know, Union Mills have not been able to field a team a few times in the Combination football, which to me makes it harder for them to get players qualified, but they feel that they can do it. But I think Braddon last week with that result against Onken was against Corinthians was unbelievable, you know, brilliant 3-2 win. So if they can show that same grit and determination, then I think they can beat Union Mills in that one.
Excellent. So yeah, just a reminder, so the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup quarterfinals taking place tomorrow, all at 2 o'clock kickoffs. Thank you for just the moment, Tony. We'll be back with you shortly. Taking a look right now, the Alabama men's national football team is returning to action in what is the side's first home fixture in nearly 7 years. The Ireland squad is taking on Halewood Apollo right now in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas that kicked off a short time ago at 5 p.m. Alabama leading by 1-0, incidentally. Well, this match marks the start of what is being called the Road to Gold campaign, which is a 3-year project to build up the national team heading towards the Isle of Man, hosting the International Ireland Games in 2029. Well, earlier this week, I spoke with the national team's manager, Chris Bass Jr. He led the side to the bronze medal at the last Ireland Games in Orkney last summer. Well, as part of our conversation, I asked him about the long-term ambitions for the team, and he explains his hopes to build some pride and identity in the national setup going forward.
The only conversations, firstly, that the Ireland Games we had, do we have 6 months build-up into that? I brought in quite a lot of, I think it was 7 or 8 players that I knew and I'd played with and are experienced. Some had just finished with their FC Alamein careers, and some I'd brought in from that I'd played with for a long time, and I know how the mentality of those players and what I was going to get out of them. So that was nice to bring them in, and the goal was obviously gold medals, but we just didn't quite reach that goal. Just one poor performance in the week and then you get knocked out, and that's tournament football for you. But most of the conversations around going forwards were based on the FC Alamein players, and I've had a lot of comments made about this, and I think with bringing those players in, although I have said and I to the players, and I fully agree, not all the best players play for FC Alamein because of different reasons, family commitments, work commitments. So it was to bring in a really good scutch of those players and to mix them in, get a really good mix of players, because I want those players available, and ultimately they were really keen to join in the squad, and I just want the best players that are available to the Alamein national team to play. So it was based around that, because I think that a lot of people have come to me and said, oh, you shouldn't be playing for the Alamein national team if you're playing for FC Alamein. And my question to that would be, well, why not? They're local players playing for a local club side. You cannot start then discriminate against players because they choose to play for FC Alamein. This is the national team, and if they're available and if they're good enough, they'll be selected for it. And that was mainly the conversation we've had around going towards the Iron Games next year and the Iron Games in a couple of years' time over here in 2029. So yeah, we feel like we've got the balance right. We feel like we've got the best players available to us at the moment. The squad is ever changing. A few players have actually come to me and said that they can't continue with the commitments they've got elsewhere, which is absolutely fine. You know, it's disappointing. But you have to respect their decisions and respect their reasons, and there'll be opportunities for other people once we get going after Saturday again.
You sort of half answered what my next question was going to be with regards to FC Alamein players coming into the setup as well. You said you've had questions about it and you've answered it in your way. But on top of that as well, how do you explain that decision to bring in those players to other players within the squad who are not part of the FC Alamein setup but have been part of the national team setup for the last 12 to 18 months that may end up missing out because of the quality of players sometimes that, you know, that were in that FC Alamein squad that come in? How do you explain that to the players that may have to miss out on certain opportunities?
So I haven't had to explain too many of those players. I've had one or two conversations and they've been really good, really understanding of the fact that this is the way that we're looking, this is the way I want to take it forwards. You have to have the best possible players available for playing for your national team if you want to get results, especially in Ireland Games tournament. I feel like we were really close last time. We can be stronger again. And the lads that have had to ask those questions have been really understanding of the situation. It's just a decision you have to make as a manager and as a coaching team, which direction are we going to go? And it's not, the door's never closed to anybody. We've had those conversations. It's never closed. It's just at the moment in time, this is the way we're going to go. And these are the players that we've selected for now. But those players that came to the Ireland Games with us last time did a really good job. We got albeit not the best result we wanted, but we got a good result out of it. So there is opportunities, or there will be in the future, for those players again if they continue to show me that they're good enough and they're willing to put the work in to come back into the squad. But firstly, I just feel like when you've got the opportunity, especially like this, you for an Alamein national team, you just pick the best players that are available to you at the time. And those FC Alamein players are playing at a standard where you would argue it's higher than the Manx leagues week in, week out. Not to say that they are all the best players, but there is a strong core of that team that will improve our national side. So I think they're understanding, the ones that have asked the question. They were really understanding of it. And it doesn't make my job easier, but we just appreciate the fact that they took those messages on board. So this is where we are, and this is how we're going to take it forward.
Looking ahead, really, obviously a lot of this is part of the, I suppose it's been called the Road to Gold campaign, if you like, going to the Faroe Islands in 2027. How important is it for you as a manager and for the players to get started, I suppose, this early down the line with the next Ireland Games just over a year away, to get yourself as prepped as possible for that campaign when it comes around?
Yeah, look, we have to. It was a question that when we came back from the Ireland Games, it was a question of myself and Matty and Rick if we wanted to continue. And at the time, I had to kind of have a think about it. And well, if we're going to continue, we need to be shown a willingness on both sides to improve the national team and to get fixtures back. Because like you say, you've just touched on before, we haven't had a fixture since 2019. So there was nothing lined up. So it was a case of, well, let's bring this Alamein team back to the forefront of people's minds and at the top of where all the Manx players should want to play. So we've had discussions around that. There's so much work going on in the background, and the campaign of the Road to Gold, I really like. There's a lot of work going on, and I have to thank all those people that are really pushing it. We've already got four, possibly five fixtures lined up for this summer, which is great preparation, just especially for going into the next year. I can have a good look at players, and we can get working with them this summer. So we've got this game Saturday. I've organised a game with TNS on the 13th of June, where we travel to them. They've just won the Welsh Premier League by quite a distance. So, and then they play in European qualifiers 2 weeks after they play us. So that's a really, really top fixture. And if we can open up these lines of communication and build these relationships with these clubs, then we can bring the national team back to play in some good fixtures. We've got a tournament organised for July, whereby it's working out that we have to play two games in one day on the 11th of July, which is fine because it's challenging, but we've got a squad big enough. And I believe that we can, if there's unavailability, there's other players on the island that we can bring in to look at for those fixtures. And then there's a potential to play against the schools team that go to California. So there's lots of fixtures, lots of work going on in the background. And hopefully Saturday will be the start of being able to drum up a bit more positivity about the Island Man national team, and hopefully we can get a main sponsor behind us. And that's always it's always what you need, is the main sponsor and some funding, because it always comes down to money, unfortunately. But the idea of this road to gold is to entice someone to come and say, yeah, we'll support that, we like what you're doing and we like the look of it, let's strike up a deal if we can.
That is Isle of Man men's national team manager Chris Bass. And you can listen to the full extended interview with Chris Bass as a podcast over on the Manx Radio Sportscast, which is available on our website at manxradio.com. Tony, very quickly, just to bring you back in, and just want to pick up on some of Chris's comments about, I suppose, pride and identity in the Isle of Man men's national team. We only see them occasionally at the moment in the likes of the Island Games and the odd friendly here and there. Actually, just incidentally, courtesy of Tony, we have had an update. Isle of Man men's team are now leading by 2-0 against Halewood Apollo. Charlie Higgins has got the second goal of the bowl this evening after Thomas Brown had opened the scoring. So the Isle of Man men's national team extending their advantage at the bowl so far, approaching half-time there. But on Chris's message there about a longer-term ambition to build some pride in the team, build an extra identity over the next 3 years. Two-pronged question, really. What do you make of that sort of priority, and how do you think they could achieve that?
It's one of those that when FC Isle of Man started, it suddenly took all the players away, or the best players, if you like, from the Island selection process. And, you know, it's sort of... The Interleague has been a big loss because the Interleague was a funded competition by the English FA. Counties could enter it, and we always did well in it. It was a good standard for us because we've had some real humdingers of games in that. But, you know, that's gone because the English FA cut back the finance. And then when it did start again, you know, half of the teams didn't enter. Jersey didn't, Guernsey, Isle of Man didn't, because it's just too much money to do it. So the only competition they've really got is the Island Games. But now, hopefully, you know, with games coming up and the Island Games next year in the Faroes, and then 2 years' time after that in the Isle of Man, it might just sort of be able to give them more fixtures. But, you know, the debate, and I heard Chris say it there, between, you know, are FC Isle of Man players, if you like, hardcore players, allowed to play for the Island team? Yes, they are. And Chris has managed to select them. There's a lot of debate going on about it, and that's up to them to choose. I've got mine own sort of views on it, and, you know, that's what it's due. But, you know, Chris Bass is the interim manager, if you like, because he hasn't accepted the post. So it's up to him, while he's in charge, to, you know, do what he wants to do and do what he feels fit. And, you know, at the moment, the Island side are proving it by being 2-0 up.
Well, Tony, thank you very much for your time. As always, we'll be catching up with you again very soon.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
So, turning our attention to rugby, and the curtain came down on the 2025-26 Isle of Man season today with an action-packed set of cup finals taking place at Portishead in Douglas. The final showdowns of both this year's Hartford Homes Manx Plate and Hartford Homes Manx Cup. It saw in the Manx Plate a meeting of Vagabonds and Ramsey, league rivals this season, as well as in the cup the local competitions, I should say, and in with the Hartford Homes Manx Cup, the relentless Douglas Celts team this season up against the Southern Nomads side, hoping to cause an upset. Down there watching all the developments today was our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. So Dave, don't keep us in suspense, and for those who don't know already, can you tell us how things went down on 2026 Cup Finals weekend?
Yeah, we'll start off with the Manx Cup Final, the big one, I guess, and the Hartford Homes Manx Cup will be taking pride of place at Portishead after Douglas Celts beat Southern Nomads 43-5 in the final. It was tight at half-time. Douglas led 12-5, but they turned on the power after the break and raced clear of Nomads, who really didn't have that much to answer. They did come back a little bit into the game, but a couple of dropped balls were the sum total of their efforts in the second half, whereas Douglas seemed to strike gold every time they ran. It was Captain Percy Hampton who got Douglas underway, a try after just 5 minutes. That was off the back of a very powerful scrummage, and Percy dotted down the ball as they were shunted over the line. It was converted by Craig Martin. Mikey Crane pulled one back for Nomads at the other end pretty quickly, but it didn't last that long. They were still trailing by two, and Douglas number eight, Alfie Howard, went over for a try to make it 12-5 at the interval. In the second half, Douglas ran in two quick tries right at the start, and that really broke the Nomads' resistance. Lewin Scarf got the first wide on the left, and Percy Hampton, the captain, got his second of the game underneath the posts. Craig Martin converted both of those, and suddenly Douglas were 26-5 in front, and Nomads were left scratching their heads to wonder how they were going to get back into the game. And later tries followed for Douglas. Sam Clark picked one up wide on the left wing. Craig Martin converted that one, and then right at the death, there were two tries there. Wilf Kermode and Craig McGee both went in for tries, and that put a little bit of gloss on the scoreboard that perhaps Douglas didn't quite deserve based on the whole game, but certainly in the second half there was no doubt in it. They're the Manx Cup champions. The trophy will be down there at Portishee for another season. In the Manx Plate, that was the warm-up game for the Manx Cup final. That was a lot more interesting. Ramsey beat Vagabonds in the end by 35 points to 24, which was a pretty tight game all the way through. Ramsey led a try from Johnny Mason after 5 minutes. That was converted by Dan Kelly. But Ramsey fumbled their own line out after 10 minutes, which let Dan Bumwick pick one off for Vagabonds at the other end. After a quarter of an hour, Ramsey got back in front with a further try. That was Braden Roach wide on the left wing. That was again converted by Dan Kelly, and Ramsey 14-5 in front. They conceded penalties, though, in their own half. Brendan Kelly pulled one back for Douglas. Dan Kelly picked the penalty off for Ramsey at the other end. But a try from Matt Rockwell at the back of a driving maul brought Vaggers back to 17-15, and Theo Head converted that one to make it 17-all at half-time. That was the sum total of a cracking first half. In the second half, there was Vagabonds went ahead. Ramsey were on the attack deep inside the Vagabonds' half. And Vagabonds standoff Jack Cutts picked off a pass, and he ran 80 metres down the other end to score underneath the post. He converted his own try, and Vagabonds suddenly had their noses in front, 24-17. But that was where it ended. Ramsey regrouped. Johnny Mason went in for his second after Adam Clark had made a break up the right wing for Ramsey. That pulled them within two. Then Dan Kelly made a break from the restart, which Kieran Neal finished off, which put Ramsey ahead 27-24. Dan Kelly picked another penalty up for Ramsey just after 70 minutes to extend the lead to 6 points, meaning Vagabonds had to score a converted try to win. And 2 minutes later, Johnny Mason picked up his hat-trick try of the game, which made the lead unassailable for Vagabonds. So Ramsey take on the Manx Plate. It's a little bit of consolation for them at the end of a difficult season, but there's no taking it away from Douglas Celts. They've won the Manx Shield. They've now got the Manx Cup under the belt as well. It's very rare to see a Cup and Shield double, and fair play to Douglas Celts. They did it today. And congratulations to Percy Hampton. He had a fine game and two tries on his own. And that was the tale of the tape down at Portishee, Rob.
Excellent, Dave. Just a couple of questions then. Turning to the Hartford Owens Manx Cup, as you mentioned, Douglas Celts, double champions this season, Manx Shield and Manx Cup. It was quite nip and tuck in the first half, wasn't it? And then Douglas Celts just seemed to motor away in the second. And I know you mentioned on Friday Sport Preview last night that maybe the fact that Celts do have a few more experienced heads to call on should they need them to take things up a gear. Was that the case this afternoon?
Well, I looked at the two teams, Rob, and I seen that Douglas had a very powerful looking front five, and that suggested to me that when it comes to the set-piece scrum, and we see quite a few scrums down at this grassroots level, that set-piece scrum's very important. When you've got the ball, it's giving you clean possession, and if your scrum's getting disrupted in any way, your possession starts to be a little bit dirtier. The ball's bubbling around. The scrum's going backwards. The scrum half's under pressure. Number eight's under pressure. So Douglas were using their scrummage as an attacking weapon when they had the ball, but they were using it as a defensive measure when Nomads had the ball, which meant that the Douglas scrum going as well as it was meant Nomads were getting very, very dirty ball, and that made life virtually impossible for George Colster and Richard Seed, the number eight and scrum half. And that created problems for Nomads in their attack, because when the scrum's going backwards, the back line have got to follow back at the same sort of pace, and you lose all the go-forward impetus you have. And, you know, Percy Hampton's first try came from a five-metre scrum, and the Douglas, we'd seen a couple of scrums before Percy scored, and the Douglas had always had a little bit of a nudge on. Nomads were struggling to hold them when they turned on the taps for that five-metre scrum from the score, and there was no stopping them. So, yes, they've got those experienced players to call on. They've got a couple of guys with league experience, but the team that was out there today, they've only got three or four games maybe for the first team. The rest of the guys, you know, Aaron Mason at hooker, he's not played first team this season. I think Ralph Clark might have played once, maybe twice. Conor McCocken's not played in the first team this season. So they had a quality set of lads out there, and the one that caught my eye was a young lad playing at number eight for Douglas, Alfie Howard. He was really, really good when he got the ball, and he looks to be a tremendous prospect for them for the future.
And just quickly on the Harford Holmes Manx plate final, got a couple of minutes here. Vagabonds and Ramsey, when we spoke about this, Dave, two sides that will have probably fancied themselves, or maybe should have fancied themselves, to be in the Manx Cup final this year. Not to be the case, but both with a chance to battle for silverware after difficult league campaigns, both of them in Counties 3ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. Ramsey coming out on top. I know you tipped possibly Vagabonds going into this as maybe slight favourites given their league form, but the Northerners upsetting those particular odds and taking the trophy for the end of the season.
Yeah, I was chatting with the former Vagabonds chairman on the touchline, and he was telling me that he thought it was going to be close, because we seen that it was a 0-0 in the league game at Murrick Park back in November. It was 21-10 at Bella Fletcher, but there was a converted try for Vaggers right at the last play of the game. And that meant that the scores or the playing abilities of the two sides are very, very evenly matched. So it was no surprise to get the 17-all at half time. But at the conclusion of the game, the same gentleman came to speak to me, and he observed that Ramsey played much better in the second half. And he said, when your only scoring chance is an 80-metre interception try, it tells me that your side isn't creating enough opportunities going forward. And I thought that was a fair observation from somebody in the Vagabonds camp. They really struggled. The Ramsey defence, given the amount of beatings they've had this season, the defence is one thing that's improved a lot. So the guys were quite aggressive in defence. And yeah, they've conceded four tries there, but I don't think anybody's too worried about that, because the attack and prowess they had going forward, you know, Vagabonds were up inside the Ramsey half at one stage. Next minute, the ball's turned over. They're 80 metres back down the other way. And Johnny Mason's dotting down his second try of the match. So it can turn very, very quickly. And the performance today that Ramsey put in, they'll be pleased with that one, because as we've all observed with the results, they've not had a particularly brilliant season. And they probably felt they should and could have won the game back in November, which finished 0-0 at the Murrick Park. And I definitely know the players felt they should have done better at Bella Fletcher when they lost 21-10 up there. So today, yeah, probably a bit of a vindication for some of the players. They've enjoyed themselves, and they'll be enjoying themselves not right now and probably later on tonight too.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much indeed, as always.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised webshop for your sports club or business.
Elsewhere, and something a little bit different, and the Isle of Man is chasing the dream of competing in 3v3 basketball at this summer's Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. Next month, a Manx men's and women's squad will take part in the 3v3 basketball Home Nations qualifiers, with one spot at the Games in the Scottish city up for grabs. Preparations for the tournament are already underway, and two of the island's aspiring young male competitors are hoping to secure their place in the team for this unique opportunity. Speaking to Manx Radio, Jack Wilkinson and Oliver Hamilton explain what it would mean to them to get the chance to face off against some of the best players in the UK.
Yeah, it should be interesting seeing just the skill level, because obviously they're much larger teams. So yeah, it'll be very different playing at that pace compared to over here.
3v3 is like a lot faster pace. The ball goes through the hoop and you collect it and you just keep playing. It's really intense. That's why it's only 10 minutes. Whereas 5v5, you know, the other team scores, so you get like the clock goes off and you can walk up the court, but it's a lot more intense than 3x3.
Going into these qualifiers as well, there's absolutely no pressure on yourselves to go out there and have to, I suppose, you know, go out there as giant slayers, if you like, as well. I imagine you're all still going in there with, you know, with plenty of confidence. You want to make a good impression when you go.
Yeah, that's the idea. We've got nothing to lose and everything to play for, and it'd be great to upset one of the big teams if it does happen.
Jack, just on that, what would it mean if you were to, you know, upset the odds up against one of the, I suppose, in inverted commas, of course, you know, bigger nations, if you like? What would that do for you as players, as confidence as well?
Yeah, it definitely would be a big confidence boost. Just seeing that we're even close to that level, it'd be a nice feeling.
Just how many lessons do you think you'll be able to learn for the long run as well, up against, you know, teams of that caliber?
Countless. Playing against people of that high level, it's just, you can take anything from them really, and just being there makes us proud.
A slightly more general note, I guess. I mean, the basketball scene has been busy again on the Isle of Man this season, you know, full programme of fixtures, full season as well. Just how popular is the sport on the island at the moment?
Yeah, it's definitely growing. Even just in the last few years since I've started playing, the junior league is growing and the men's league is just as big. And yeah, there's teams every year coming through and new players. It's good to see.
Jack, going forward, for you personally as a player, what are you hoping to take from this qualifiers tournament?
I'm just hoping to learn the difference, because over here on the Isle of Man, we play with the same people week in and week out, and it can get a little, not old, but you know what you're coming to play against. But when you go against players at that level, you'll learn a lot. It'll definitely point out points to learn.
And all of you guys out on court are the ones, you know, putting the effort in, getting points on the board, getting results. But obviously there's a whole team of people behind yourselves as well. There's, you know, there's the coaches, there's parents and guardians as well who support you to play, and all the finances and logistics that go into travel and everything like that. So, you know, how important are all the people behind the scenes as well in getting you all to this point so that you have this opportunity?
Can't stress how important they are. It's a real help. Obviously, Martin does a lot for the Isle of Man Basketball Association, and it's just great to see we have support.
That was Isle of Man basketball players Jack Wilkinson and Oliver Hamilton speaking ahead of the Isle of Man's participation in the Commonwealth Games 3v3 basketball home nations qualifiers later this month. And that event will take place at the National Basketball Performance Centre in Manchester on Friday the 22nd of May and Saturday the 23rd of May. Before we wrap things up, just a reminder of a couple of the top stories in Manx sport this weekend and earlier this week. Of course, this weekend, the Isle of Man Youth Tour in cycling is taking place, and this year, of course, a milestone year for the event. It marks 25 years since the Isle of Man Youth Tour first took place back in 2001, and some of the island's greats in the sport have been involved over the years, the likes of Sir Mark Cavendish, Peter Kenyuk, Anna Christian and Lizzie Holden, and so on. Well, the first of two big road racing events has been taking place today up in the north of the island, up on a circuit at Jerby. Tomorrow there's another selection of road races taking place on what's known as the Stugadoo Circuit in the Braden St Mark's region. That will involve road closures in and around the Braden St Mark's area. Full details of those at manxradio.com, just in case you are travelling in and around the area this weekend. Also, cricket is returning. The domestic season is returning this weekend, but there are some changes, including the taking away, the disappearance of the T10 League for this season. You can hear an interview with Isle of Man Cricket Development Officer Greg Wright, carried out by our journalist Darren Timpson. That is available over at manxradio.com. And also this week, Jamie Devine confirming his first professional title fight in boxing. The undefeated fighter will be competing at the Olympia in Liverpool in June. Full details on the Manx Radio website. That just about wraps up Saturday Sport Classified here on Manx Radio AM 1368 this evening. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be handing back over to Manx Radio Gold shortly. Don't forget as well, if you want to catch up on anything you may have missed on tonight's programme, it will be available as a podcast later this evening, and full details of today's Isle of Man football and rugby results will be also be available on our website later this evening. All that remains for me to say is have a wonderful Saturday evening or whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful weekend as well. Until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.